Hello, this is 107.5 FM, WRUU. You can also listen on WRUU.org or WRUU.creek.fm. And this is The Customer Isn't Always Right. And I'm your host, Rio. And as always, we're going to start out doing the bar recap with our current guest. Brema, how was your work week this week?
I'd say, if anything, it was pretty productive.
Super busy?
Yeah. I don't think I had to worry about not being steady the entire week.
Constant. That's good. Was it like super busy or was it just like steady flow?
I'd say there was definitely some days where it was super busy, but if we had slower days, like only, you know, like 70 covers, it might have been a little slower, but not really, because I was able to, like, you know, do the side work that I had to do to get out on time.
Okay. Do you guys get a lot of traffic from, like, the parade and all that nonsense?
Oh my goodness, it was so funny. Everyone was talking about the parade. They're like, they say they're getting overstimulated out there because there was servers on the patio, and all you see is like 100 of people just lined up screaming at the parade. And then they were like, oh, it was really short. And then everyone was like, what?
Yeah, I totally forgot about the parade until I came into work, and I had to wait like a half an hour. I literally had to have my Uber drop me off like 3 blocks away from where I work because there was just
the roadblocks.
Yeah, I just couldn't get any closer to it, so it was kind of obnoxious. And then it was pretty busy for me, wall to wall people. Last night, I had to kick out an older woman. She was there's no other way to say this. She was sexually harassing me. So, you know, it happens. It's just another day in the life, I guess. But anyway, that's a good short recap. We're going to take a couple seconds or a couple minutes now for some station stuff. We'll be right back.
As a community broadcasting station, we offer a number of shows by, for, and about Savannah, like Local and Sustainable, and That Old Savannah Magic. We also offer incredibly diverse talk shows on a wide variety of topics, from women's issues to religious services to news, real estate, and even dog training. Check us out, and if you like what you hear, tell your friends. Have a great day and enjoy the show here at FM 107.5. WRUU.org.
You're listening to your radio station, WRUU, which is presented by people just like you, people from your community. The voices you hear are your neighbors, coworkers, and other Savannah residents. Therefore, WRUU is your community radio station. So won't you please help by donating whatever you can afford to help your neighbors stay on the air? Go to WRUU.org and support your local radio station with a monetary contribution of any amount. Again, you can support your local radio station at WRUU.org. Thank you.
Hi, I'm WRUU's international music host, Mike. Are you rockers tired of hearing Free Bird and Stairway to Heaven 100 times a day? Join me every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. for Rock in the World, a unique, one-of-a-kind blend of rock and roll from around the globe, from indigenous music to folk rock to death metal. You've got it all.
The Savannah African Art Museum will host its fifth annual Kwanzaa Marketplace from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturdays, December 6th, 13th, and 20th in the museum's courtyard located at 201 East 37th Street, Savannah. Each marketplace will feature vendors of the African diaspora selling various handicrafts. For more information about the museum, please visit www.savannahafricanartmuseum.org.
All right, and we are back. All right, Prima, tell us as much as you want to tell us about what you do aside from being a server. Are you like a student, or like what's your goal in life other than doing this?
Well, I think the most I could talk about is what I do like currently when I'm not at work, and it's literally like exploring the downtown city. But More so of not even popping into like different types of spots that are sitting there, like businesses, just like walking around, seeing what I can see. Maybe I see a plant that I've never seen before. And recently I really liked walking on very cold nights. So once it hits like 60 and under, I will just walk around, look up at the sky, because I feel like that's when the air is like the most purest here. There, I don't really have to worry about any muggy air. It's clear. I don't have to like cough while I'm breathing. And if I'm not doing that, then I'm trying to hang out with friends because I have a couple that are moving away. So,
fair. Are you from a colder area?
I typically move around like a lot, but I've been to cold areas, especially when being a kid. So I guess, you know, my body was just like, you like it? And I'm like, I like it, sure. So then it was fine. So yeah, whenever I'm here and I am outside and I see people in their winter coats and gloves, I'm literally in a crop top and shorts, and I'm like, I feel great right now.
Yeah, that's funny to me, is like you can always see, like you can always like you can tell the people who like haven't been down here long enough or who are not acclimated, because yeah, it's the same thing. I'll be out like maybe some shorts and like a t-shirt, and people are, you know, bundled up, jackets and vests or whatever the case may be. So,
and the kicker is, Georgia is so bipolar with their weather. Today, like literally yesterday, was summer out. I was not expecting it, but yeah. I guess that was a good time for the parade to happen, because it was humid and it was hot. And now today it's like windy and it's chilly, and there are some people that have their winter gear on, but there's no set winter here.
No.
It's just every season combined. Like while I was walking over here, I'm like, I see red leaves right now. I haven't seen this all year. It's autumn, apparently.
Yeah. I was, I'm from New Jersey. So like a lot of my friends are like, what's it like, you know, with the seasons and stuff. I'm like, it's either summer or it's not. Like there's no real winter. I'm like, we get fall. So we get like summer, and then we get fall for like a few months. And then in March, we get like, it starts to be summer again.
Yeah. And people are like, oh my God, that sounds so wonderful. I have to move there. Until you realize that summer is rainy every day.
Yeah. We get that hurricane season. Yeah. That's the thing. People are like, oh, you don't get it. Like, cause I always tell people like, oh, it's dead. It's like dead season from like June to like August pretty much. And people are like, why? And I'm like, hurricane season, like it rains all the time. Like it's disgustingly hot, like damn near like 100% like humidity. Like no one wants to be here for that. Like most people come like, you know, from like March to like early June, and then like you don't see people for a while until like September again.
Unless you're born here, then you're like, it feels fine every day.
Yeah, then you're normal. Yeah, then you're all right with it. But all right, cool. So how long have you been serving?
Since I separated from my parents, you know, moved out on my own. So 19, first place of my own, I was like, I'm gonna be a server, I'm gonna see what it's like. And then I haven't moved from anything since.
So you got a few years under your belt.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. All right, so let's move on to that. Let's go with the and let's give me your like one or like one to two, you know, like favorite customer interactions.
I can say the most recent one is going to be the day before Thanksgiving. I'm in fine dining, so okay. Of course there's like scripts that you have to say and everything like that. But in between that, you do get guests who are interested in you or just like want to converse with you, talk with you. And we were talking about how like the holidays, and they were asking, oh, are you going to cook? And I'm like, no, I'll be here. Like, because I had to work on Thanksgiving yeah. Day. And they're like, oh, I wish we could take you to our Thanksgiving. I'd be like, you know what? I'd love that. I'd help you cook. And they're like, well, if you're just going to, they asked me a question, like, well, if you're going to cook for someone, what would you do? Like, what would you cook? And I was like, And I told them, if I had to pick something to cook, like, not even Thanksgiving related, it'd be a lemon and lime zest ricotta and feta pasta with shrimp, and the Alfredo sauce would be made in house or my house. And they were like, oh, that sounds really good. Like, are you in culinary school? I'm like, no, I'm just living. And I like food, so I like to make it how I like it.
Yeah.
And we just had like such a great conversation, and like I got to serve them for a good like hour and a half, 2 hours, and like they made me laugh so hard I like almost toppled over myself, because I'm like, okay, this is really great. I don't want y'all to leave, but goodbye. I'm sorry.
those interactions are good. Like a lot of the coolest interactions I've had is like just chilling. You know what I mean? Like not even more like some of those, like, you know, we open the upstairs, we open where I'm at like 8 o'clock. So I really don't start, you know, doing my job until about 8:45, 9 o'clock. So like a lot of times I'll get a chance to like really get to like talk to people before things start. And like I've had a lot of cool conversations that way. It's fun that way. It's people who make it awesome and bad at the same time.
Well, I have one experience that was even greater than that one. It was actually at my other restaurant.
Okay.
And it was a couple, they just got married that day.
Dang.
And she came in her wedding dress. And I was their server for the evening, and they got you know, a Japanese Wagyu steak and a couple of other things. Mm. But they even left a review afterwards saying that I made them feel so special and that they loved me and everything. And it was just really great to be around them and to hear about that they just got married a couple hours ago, and now they're coming in and I'm the server that's like finishing off their wedding day. Like, yeah. Like what a like random thing. Like that could make someone so nervous. Like, I don't want to mess up, but they really enjoyed my presence and I appreciate that. And they ended up not finishing the bottle of wine that they bought.
Mm-hmm.
So I bottled it for them. And then I also put like a hand note saying, your love will last in the stars forever.
Aww.
And I hid it so that they didn't read it now, you know, because yeah, it's their night. They get to do whatever they want.
Yeah, exactly.
But obviously like once they got back wherever they wanted, they read it and they were like, I'm leaving a review.
It's good. I love those interactions. Like, I had a similar one not too long ago. There's a couple who came in. They literally got married, like, I want to say the day prior. And they were in Savannah and got married in Savannah. And then, like, we just did karaoke and, like, chilled. And they were, you know, they were really cool. And they left me a crazy review online. And they even, like, had taken pictures of me, like, with them and posted those in the review. It was, like, really funny. I love stuff like that. Like, it, you know, you get to interact with people like you just got married. And this is the first time y'all are doing anything outside of that. So now y'all are the married couple. And now you're doing this the first time. Like, it's really cool that you get
to. And you're a part of their experience. Like, you're a part of their celebration. You're a part of that forever memory.
Exactly.
So when they leave a review on your place of employment, like, you got to print it out and post it on the wall, because they're not going to give you a recommendation. Like the people who work for, they're not going to be like, oh, great job, we love that you did this. But the guests love that you did this. So
yeah,
to have like that memory forever, like as soon as I see that review, yeah, screenshot.
Yeah. And it's also like, yeah, it's good for you, but it's also good for your employers to see, like, okay, like you're actually doing a good job. Like, never mind, I'm not gonna, you know, follow you around or whatever it is sometimes managers do. But any other good ones before we move on to the weeds?
I guess it would be when I took a break from serving for a bit, because I fell into like really bad health issues, so I just couldn't do it. But then I came back and, you know, I'm like, oh, well, it's easy, I'll pick it up easily. And then, you know, I picked up easily, but I was still coming to terms with like, oh gosh, I really used to do this stuff. Like, because it's not the steps of service, like, it's very prompt. You have to be on your stuff. And I know, like, some people are like, oh, I hate being a server. And it's like, But the guests, they just really liked me. They ended up getting so many, like, glasses of wine and, like, or bottles. And I had to, like, open it at the table and, like, serve it to them. And they were just, like, they just loved me so much. They, like, tipped me $100 and their bill was not. Their bill was not, like, that much. Like, they did the tip of the percentage of the bill and then on 100 on top of that.
Jeez.
And I just really appreciated that. I was like, you know what? I think I'm doing just fine.
Yeah. There's some people, it's just like, you know, and we'll talk about it later when we get into the end, where service industry or food and beverage or hospitality, it's like not for everybody. You know, like, you really have to be a certain type of person to like be able to do it, you know. And when you're really good at it, you will have those experiences more often than not, you know. And it's the people who just, I don't want to say aren't good, but just like, can't keep it together or can't stay focused, those people you find, you'll talk to them and they have like the worst experiences and like very minimal good ones. And it's just like, well, maybe this isn't for you, you know, like maybe this isn't the thing for you. Like, I get that there's money involved and it's like, you know, one of those things where it's like good, quick, easy money. But like at the same time, like if you find yourself getting stressed out at any job, like it's probably time to, if you find yourself like hating it on the way over, like you're walking to your job or you're driving to your job and you're dreading walking in the door, like it's time to go. It's time to go. But
it's kind of a nice segue into the next
yeah.
topic.
Yeah. All right. So let's get into it. Give me they don't have to be in rank of worst to worst, but you know, it's wherever you want to start.
I guess I'll start with the pretty last bad one, because once I changed jobs, got to fine dining jobs rather than casual, the experiences have been a lot more palatable.
Yeah.
But before I was at the current jobs I'm at now, I was at a more casual but extremely high volume. It was like middle grade. Like, okay. It wasn't like something super, but it was like a middle grade place. And I was actually at that point where me parking and walking into the door, like I would just feel so anxious. I just hated being there.
That's the worst.
And it was translating to the point where my tables would notice, even if they weren't the issue. Yeah. But it'd be because I would be at my tables, I'm making them laugh, they're making me laugh sometimes, and then I have to go in the back and I have to hear people be so rude to the point where they're like saying to each other how much they want to punch me in the face. Jeez. Someone actually tried to punch me in the face. Them saying they want to slap me, and it's like, we're servers and you're coming here in the back and you're treating everyone like this, and then when you go to your table you're pretending to be the nicest person that you can be. But the guest that I noticed, he was just upset with my service because the restaurant was not really managed. We were out of stock of like everything, and I got tired of telling people what we were out of stock of. So he was like, do you have this? I'm like, I'm sorry, I cannot offer that. And he's like, do you have this? I'm like, I do not. And he didn't like the responses that I gave him. So he was like, go get your manager. And I just like walked away from the table because I'm like, I'll get it, but I'm not talking to you because you're rude. And then he was like, did you hear me? And I was like, mm-hmm. So then a manager comes over and he asks for a new server. And I'm like finishing up a table that I have. And the table, they liked me and they were fine. But the server that actually ended up going to the table, she hated me. So she like walked up to the table. She's like, I'm so sorry that the last server you had was so bad and that she wasn't making your night that great. But I'm going to turn everything around. We're just going to be smiles here. And she was the main one saying how many times she wanted to slap me in the face, how much she hated looking at my face. And it's just so interesting because, like, I only got beverages for them, basically.
Yeah.
And they got appetizers and entrees. And then by the end of her service, the appetizer plates were still there. The entree plates were still there. they did not have any refills. But because the guy didn't like me, he pulled out a $100 bill out of his pocket and tipped her it right in front of me to try to see if I would care.
Yeah, right. To try and get a reaction.
But money that's not mine is money that's not mine.
Right, exactly. It's not my money. I'm not going to mess with it. Yeah, that's like another thing that sometimes we actually haven't really touched on here at the show yet, is that like sometimes people don't leave jobs because of
the money,
the job or the money, mm-hmm. or even the customers. Sometimes it's bad management or bad employees. You know what I mean? Like there's situations where like, you know, you hire a new person on sometimes and then you have like one of these employees who are just constantly complaining and that causes new people to leave. You know what
yes,
I mean?
Yes. Or, all you know, the time.
It causes other people to leave and it's just like, all right, man, like, you clearly don't want to be here. Like I'm not putting a gun to your head to make you stay here. And I get it. It's hard to find another job, but like you need to start looking because it's getting to the point where we're going to let you go and you're not going to have anything that you can do. You know what I mean? Like I'm giving you a warning now. You know what I mean? Like start looking for a place to work because this might be, you know what I mean? Some people want to quit and management's job sometimes is to make that decision for them before things get way out of hand.
Management would not fire people. And that was the issue because,
well, that's just bad management.
I think when it came to my placement there, the other coworkers, they didn't like that I would not respond to their aggression. So they would like yell at my face. And I, instead of saying anything or even looking at them in their face, I would just turn around and walk away. And they hated that. They like, oh my gosh, she's really just going to turn around and walk away. She's the worst. Like, you need to say something back. And I wouldn't. And it happened for 37 weeks. I was there for 37 weeks. And 37 weeks of being, like, verbally manipulated, verbally, like, talked abused, down to. Yeah. Like, I just couldn't do it anymore. I wrote a letter of resignation. Mm. And I just walked out of my shift because I couldn't handle it. They put me in a section that I'm typically not in.
Yeah.
And then I had, like, a 9-top that stiffed me, and I was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm walking out. I already got another job. I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny. It's like, I don't know. For me, it's kind of Savannah because, like, prior to moving here, I had never quit a job without notice, ever. I've never walked out on a job, you know what I mean? If I had quit, it was like, I will call them like hours before my shift and be like, hey, look, I'm done. You know, it's never like a no call, no show situation or anything like that.
Or walk out in the middle.
Yeah, or walk out in the middle. But I moved here and it happened. It happened. And like, I never thought it would happen. But it was a situation where like, I worked at a place and there was like 4 managers on duty who all did not like each other. And
why does that happen so much?
Yeah, oh my God, it happens all the time. So then one had me go do something, and then while I was doing that, the other one was telling me to do something else, and then someone was like, who told you to do that, and do this, that, and third. And so finally, like, I'd only been there for an hour, and I got yelled at one more time by another manager, and I was like, sure, I'll take care of it, no problem. And I walked over to the tow system, clocked myself out, took my shirt off, and just walked out the door. I was like, forget this. Like, I can't. Like, I'm not gonna sit here and be abused like this. This is, like, ridiculous. Like, you all need to get your stuff together because this is ridiculous.
And that's actually what is happening. It's just so ironic because in the service industry, the main thing about your service is, yes, your actions, but the pipe of it is your words. So for you to be able to go to guests and, like, turn around, say these things, be nice, but then you're going to your team and you're not, like, treating them like people, it just doesn't make any sense. I don't understand it. And it's possibly that the service industry can be, like, one of the worst places where that happens.
It's cutthroat sometimes.
Yeah, it can be, especially when they're, like, I don't know. I don't know.
No, but I mean, sometimes, you know what it is, especially because I noticed it with, like, servers. Like, I only served once, but I was a host at a place for a while, and I could see all the servers, like, bickering and stuff. And a lot of them is just, like, one feels like they're better than the other one, and then it's like, why am I not getting enough tables? Because this person's not good. And
maybe
because, like,
you didn't pre-bus, so the bus is not going to your tables.
Right. Right. Or it's just, like, in the case where I was, like, the host, it was just like, y'all, management is telling me there's a rotation. So, like, this is how it's going. I'm not... You know, and not only that, like, it's the rotation. And if I get to the point where it's your turn, but all your tables are full and I got to move to the next person, they're not full. Yeah, they're going to get another table. I'm not going to, you know, force you to kick someone out of your section so that you can get another, like, you know what I mean? So sometimes it gets unbalanced, and it was just like such a hassle. And it's just like everyone just, you know, especially when it comes to that money, they feel like, you know, oh, this person's taking money from me. It's like, well, no, that money wasn't yours. That table wasn't assigned to you, so therefore that money was never yours. You know what I mean? Like, you
can't see people as dollar signs anyway.
Right, they're people, and like, that's the whole point of hospitality. The nicer you are and the more accommodating you are at the table, the more money you're going to make, the more money the restaurant's going to make. And then that also is like a domino effect where, like, they're going to tell other people and those people are going to come in and so on and so forth. But if you're, you know, being a turd, you know, like, it just makes things worse, especially when you're doing it to customers, you're doing it to the people you work with. Like, chances are that's probably what you're doing to the people that you're friends with outside of work as well. Like, it's just like, yo, get it together, like, chill out. If this job is the bane of your existence, then don't do it anymore.
True.
But
there's also the reality of, like, even when you see the people that they're cool with, how they talk to each other, they're insulting each other as jokes. Yeah. But that's not how it goes. But the next one is actually kind of crazier. Okay. There was this guy who came in, when I first, it was at my other job as well that I quit, but I was newer and he saw me and his friend asked for, like, a water to go and a to-go cup with lemon. And I wasn't their server, but I'm like, yeah, sure, I can grab this for you. And I grab it for him and I come back and they're like, oh, we actually only asked for this so that you could come back to the table, but we wanted to ask you something. And I just, like, looked at them and I didn't say anything. And they were like, are you single? And I was just like, have a great evening. And then
I'm one working.
Of the, yes. And then one of those guys came back, but he came back with another friend and then two women. And he recognized me immediately. And I could tell that he was, like, happy that I was his server. And I was just like, ugh, let's get this over with.
Yeah.
And then, like, during, like, the service, I'm asking for beverages, appetizers. He's like, oh, do you have a pole that can fall down from the ceiling so you can dance on it for me?
Wait, in front of, he's with...
The women laughed when he said this.
Oh, my God.
That, yeah. Setting the scene.
Oh, my God.
So I don't even look at him. I just ignore him. And then he's like, excuse me. So I'm like, and I look at him, and he says it again. He's like, do you have a pole that can drop down from the ceiling so you can dance on it for me? And I was just like, there's no pole, sir. And then I went to go get my manager. And my manager went up to him and said, if she feels uncomfortable by you one more time, we're going to kick you out. And he didn't say anything for the rest of the evening except, thank you so much, thank you. And then he ended up tipping me extra as if that was going to solve anything. Right. And he just, he expecting me to say thank you, but no, I didn't. Because, first of all, this is a restaurant. Yeah. The ceiling is wood. What makes you think it can handle a pole, sir? Yeah. So, and like for the women to like laugh at when he said it the first time and laugh when he said it the second time. Like I heard you the first and the second time. I ignored you because what else am I supposed to do?
Right, right. It's like when someone tells a bad joke and then they repeat it and then they repeat it again. You're just like, dude,
we heard you.
We heard it. It wasn't funny.
Like, yeah, it wasn't funny. It wasn't funny.
See how we're not acknowledging you? That's because it's not funny.
Yeah, I just don't understand why the women laugh because...
Yeah, that's just rude.
One of them was like, they were like dating and stuff. Like, I don't know. Dynamics, I'm just not quite sure, but it wasn't funny.
No.
And then adjacent to that, there was this older man, definitely like in his 40s. He's with his son, and it's towards like the end of their service. They have entrees out. So I'm just doing my double tap, being like, how's everything come out for us? They're like, great. And then I'm like, do we need anything at all? And he's like, come here. And he's like, come closer.
Oh, jeez.
And he was, like, doing, like, the finger thing while he was doing that. So I said, I'm right here.
I'm close enough. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm right here. What do you need? And he was just like, So then I just turned around and I stopped serving him for the rest of the evening. Because why would you do that in front of your son?
Yeah.
Your son's definitely old enough. He was, like, 11. He's old enough to, like, know when a woman is uncomfortable around you or know when you're attracted to someone.
Yeah.
And I was hoping he wouldn't do it in front of his son because, you know, from the beginning of service, if someone's attracted to you, you can tell.
Yeah, you know right away.
But he did it right in front of his son, so I'm like, I'm right here. This is the closest I'm getting. Yeah. And then I just stopped serving him.
Yeah, I mean, as you should. Like, that's the weirdest thing is, like, in hospitality and service industry, like, a lot of people sometimes feel like because they're spending a little bit of money, they can treat you how they want, and like they're gonna get away with it, and so on and so forth. And then they get surprised when you like refuse service or, you know, have them removed or whatever it is. And it's just like, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Well,
like,
they definitely didn't get another server. He still paid his bill, and I didn't even check if he tipped me, but he probably did. But the most that I did was give the son a refill without him having to ask me, and not give him anything because your son didn't deserve to see you
do that.
Try to manipulate a situation like this. Like, yeah. You're sitting down, you're eating, I'm standing up, I have my work shoes on, I'm in my uniform. Shut up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not only that, it's just like, dude, what are you teaching your son, man? Like, what are you doing? Like, don't do that. Like, that's just not, like, where's your mom? Yeah, I mean, would your mom appreciate you acting like this? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's been times where it's just like, there've been old men, like, up at the bar, like, 60, 70-year-old dudes being weird. Like, one time I had to check a dude, and I was like, hey, man, you're somebody's grandpa.
Yeah.
And he was like, aw. Like, that hit him. That hit him in the feelings.
Like, your granddaughter is actually the same age as the woman that you're trying to hit on.
Yeah.
She just wants to give you a gross vodka and tonic. Leave her alone.
Yeah. Yeah, and, I said that to him, and it kind of, like, it made him think. He was like, oh. He's like, you're right. And he closed his tab and left. And it's like, not everyone's going to have that wherewithal to do that. Some people will just be like, you know, screw you. Or
he felt like a bad person for 20 minutes, and then he went to the next spot and did it again.
Yeah, exactly. He walked right out of the door and was like, you know what? I'm going to go to this bar. Totally forgot about it. Started probably doing the same thing again. But it's just like, I don't get it. Like, I understand to a degree because it's like alcohol and whatever, and especially like where I work, and it's just like, I don't know, if you can't handle yourself out in public, then just don't go.
I understand what you're saying about the alcohol and then in public, because even like I like to go out dancing. So when I go out dancing and there's, you know, women drinking and then I'm drinking, we end up dancing together. So I understand but there's also, you know, just consent is very clear. Interest is very clear. And if a woman sees I'm not interested, or if I see a woman's not interested, I'm not going to pursue, even though girls just like to have fun, party, and dance with one another, even platonically.
Right. I mean, everyone's there to have a good time. Like, it's chill. You know what I mean? But if, like, in the case of this lady last night, she just kept, like, trying to kiss me on the cheek, and then she was, like, draped all over me. And
that's too much.
And then I had to literally stop her from trying to kiss me on the mouth numerous times, and that's when I got, like,
I don't like that right. You had to kick her out yourself, and, like, no one was, like...
Well, no, I had to get someone to do it. It wasn't me, because it was just, like, if it was a dude, you know what I'm saying, I would have been like, all right, man, it's time to go. I would have put my hands on him and moved him, but it's, like, this, you know...
You don't want to be implemented in a, like, oh, my God, he's hurting me.
Right.
Because the last thing that they'll do is actually retrace the footage, even though it's very clear that, like, she was probably for hours, like, being frantic over you.
It was not cool. Yeah, it was not cool. And, like, clearly she was, like, affluent. There was a bunch of lawyers and stuff upstairs and, like, a bunch of lawyers. Like, there's, like, a bunch of firm parties and stuff like that. So, clearly I was just like, man.
She had influence and stuff.
Yeah, like, I'm like, I don't know who her husband is. Like, definitely I don't want to deal with this. Definitely
something that's not talked about is, like, when women are being overbearing or, like, breaking boundaries, not listening to, like, consent, even nonverbal consent.
Yeah.
That can be given a lot.
Right, just, like, read the room, you know what I mean? But, yeah, it took a couple of bouncers to kind of get her out, because she was like, you know, well, I didn't do anything wrong in this, that, and third. It's just like, but you did. Like, you made this dude uncomfortable.
You can't try to put your lips on someone.
Right, like,
do you know how many diseases I can give you?
Well, not only that, I'm a kissy person. Like, what?
Okay, kiss your pillow.
Yeah, kiss your husband. He's right over there. You know what I'm saying?
Dang.
Like, he was there. And it's just like, yo.
He was just watching?
He was also being a creep. We ended up having to get him out,
oh,
too.
Oh, my gosh. Like, they're swingers.
Yeah, probably. We got them out at the same time. But it was just like, damn.
There's a proper way to be a swinger, everyone.
Right, but it's just like, dang, man. Like, I'm literally just trying to work. Like, I don't have a shield. Like, I don't know what people, like, why people think. Like, just because I'm there and open, like, they have access to me that they can just, like, do whatever they want, you know? And I'm just...
Did you sing? Because if they heard you sing, they probably were like, oh, my gosh.
I mean, it's possible. I don't even know. But that lady, she just got wild with me. And it's just, like, that's another thing, too. It's just, like, I like singing when I'm at work. But I can tell, like you said, you can tell when people are, like, into you when you first get there and stuff like that. So there'll be times where I'm just like, you know what? This lady's clearly got a fever, and I'm, like, not going to make this worse, so I'm just not going to sing.
Was she not pretty?
No, she was, but...
She was drunk.
She was drunk and with her husband. And also, I'm engaged, like, so I'm not, you know what I mean? I'm not there, you know what I mean? It's not.
I'm not looking at you like that.
I
just see bones.
Yeah, like, you're money to me. Like, that's all it is, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not seeing you as a dollar sign. I'm going to treat you as a person, but it's...
But I have to do my job.
Right.
I have to be professional.
Right, as far as I'm concerned, you're formless. Like, you're just a person, and like, you have, you know, it is what it is. Like, I'm just... Like, don't get it twisted. Like, I get paid to be nice to you. You know what I mean? That's... Not that I'm not a nice person normally, but, like, I get paid to be extra nice. I get paid to kind of overlook things. I get paid to kind of just make sure things are good. I'm there to make sure everyone's having a good time. And, like, people just take it the wrong way sometimes. And it puts me in weird situations.
Yeah. It's the personableness that comes with being in the hospitality industry. Because if you have it, it can really take you far. But if you have it, sometimes people are like, they feel like they can know you, and they feel like they can, like, fetishize you a bit.
Yeah.
Because I remember having a conversation with these two elderly men. They were definitely, like, in their 60s, like, possibly 70s. And we were talking about diets, and I was like, yeah, I don't like to eat chicken. I don't like the way that they're treated. I try to eat, like, all these things I can find myself, try to eat in. And they were like, oh, well, that makes sense, and that's probably why I absolutely would love to just see you on a beach and in a bikini right beside me.
What?
And as soon as he said that, I was like, we'll see. And I turned away and I talked to my manager, and he was like, okay, new server. And then they got a server that was a woman, but she was around their age, and they were mad. They told the server, they're like, they want, she was like, oh, they told me that they want you to go back over to them so that they can tip you. I'm like, nah, they can keep that.
Yeah, they're good. I'm good. Yeah, I'm totally. That was the other thing. Is like when I told her, like when I finally told her that she was like being annoying. She tried to. She's like, I'll Venmo you whatever you want just for me being annoying.
$1,000.
Right. Right.
And a custom Pokemon card.
Yeah. Like my money mind was like, oh, I should just throw out a money like $1,000. But then in my smart, rational thinking brain, I was like, no. She's literally gonna buy me. Like, and if I take this money, she's probably gonna get even more wild, and then I won't have any real, you know, room to kick her out. Like, it'll be like this whole thing, and I'm just like, you know what?
Don't wanna risk the employment, especially when it's a job that you quite enjoy.
Right. So I'm just like, forget this. Like, I'm just, she's gotta go. Like, I just can't deal with this.
Yeah, I think a reason why this would probably happen so often is because I was in a more casual dining. But before that, I was in a different state, and I was in fine dining. So I brought a lot of those like traits with me, like pre-busting the table, giving out refills with them without them having to ask. Like I was there for 37 weeks, and the time they had to ask me for refills, I can count on one hand.
Nice.
Yeah, I did think it was nice, but they probably saw the efficiency and was like, I wonder, like, what can I do? But that was actually when I moved to Georgia, and I was at that place. That's when I realized, oh, I think Georgia has an issue with, like, fetishizing, like, a type of person, a type of woman, because it seemed as soon as I told them or as soon as the reality clicked in when I said something that they didn't like, they immediately, you could tell, like, they would look at you and they hated you.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, you'd get stiffed.
Yeah, they get mad. It's just,
That's what I really think it was with you. I think she was, like, fetishizing you, if it was just, like, a personality thing, too, as well.
Regardless, it does happen, like, pretty often. Like, I dodge bullets out there all the time, and it's just, like, it's not enough for me to be, like, I'm not doing this job anymore, but it is enough for me to be, like, I have to be uncomfortable, and it also kind of, like, unfortunately has made me adjust the way that I, like, deal with people sometimes. Because it's, like, all right, I can't be, like, I got to be nice, but I can't be, like, too nice. I don't want to be standoffish, but at the same time, I'm not trying to invite any problems.
Whenever I realize that it's a fetish, I immediately stop giving them eye contact. And I just like say words, but I'll like let my hands do the talking because you realize my hands are moving a lot faster now. I'm not smiling at you anymore, and you're not getting any eye contact because when that does happen and they realize that you're not this Pokemon fantasy or Hello Kitty girl, they're like, they look at you and they hate you, and I'm just like, that hurts me. Like, well, I'm just a person. I'm just your server. Okay,
right, exactly, right. That was the thing. It's like they just forget your people. It's just like, and again, like I said earlier, because they're spending a little bit of money, they feel like they can do whatever they
own
want.
You for that right. hour and a half.
It's like, no, you don't.
I will knock that hour and a half to 45 minutes. Bet.
Oh yeah, luckily when the situation was up, shoot. You think you're going to be here all night? Like, no, I'm sorry. I'm about to go smoke a cigarette, and there's going to be bouncers who are going to come in behind me. Like, I just can't. Like, I'm not going to, you know, you don't have to be here.
That's just the one thing.
Yeah. You know? All right, what else we got?
I don't think I have any other negative ones, except when a woman, her, like, lasagna meal didn't come out with the garlic bread, and at first they're like, oh, we love your service, yada yada, and then she was like, how am I supposed to enjoy this without my garlic bread? And I was like, well, it is in the oven, but I can double check on it for you. And she's like, no, what you can do for me, you can go get your manager. And then so I just look at her and I don't say anything, and I just go to my next table and serve them, because you can find a manager yourself if you're going to complain about something like that.
Yeah.
So she made her husband get up, walk around the entire restaurant to find a manager, which they did, and they got a new server. And I was like, I don't care.
Yeah, no, that's like one of those things that I always kind of talk about, where it's like you see a server getting dressed down by a customer, like yelled at, whatever the case may be. And a lot of the times it's like your job as a server is to take their order and put it in. If there's a couple things, if the kitchen messes their order up, that's not your problem. You shouldn't be stiffed on that, because that's the kitchen's fault, not your fault. You didn't cook their food. Number one. Number two, sometimes customers think they know stuff about food, but they don't. where like a customer will say, oh, I want a medium, but really what they mean is medium well or medium rare, done. Yeah, or well done. And then they get it and like
they want beef jerky.
They're like, this isn't what I ordered. Like, yes, it is. You said medium. I wrote it down here. That's medium. Do you want me to show you a chart of what medium looks like? And you know what I mean? And then people get mad because they think they know better than you. And it's just like, you've never worked in a restaurant. I can tell you've never worked in a restaurant because you ordered your burger or your steak like 10 minutes ago and you see a full restaurant and you expect it to be out now.
Yeah.
Like, please, if you're taking 5 minutes to make a steak at your house that's coming out perfect, tell me how you're doing it. I would like to know. You know what I mean? Because that's not possible. Like, have you ever cooked anything at home and had it take, like, 4 minutes when it didn't come out of a microwave? You know what I mean? Like, it's a lot of these, like, weird, impossible standards where they just don't like policies. You know what I'm saying? Like, for example, like, when you were talking about how, like, y'all were just out of stuff. That's not your fault as the server. You're not
that's
the person.
Management.
Yeah, that's a management problem. So if you want to stiff anybody, stiff management. Like, don't pay your bill. Still tip me because I did what I was supposed to do.
I love when people do that. It's nice. It's super nice because I don't have to tip out nothing.
It's just like, you know, that's just what happens. But, like, people just like to – they like to get on people about stuff that is, like, literally out of their control. You know, I mean, it's like someone yells at me for, like, not having a song. And I'm like, dude, I'm running off an app that is an international company. Like, I have no control over what
music. You're
going to
find
music.
The same procedures in every other karaoke spot because it's the easiest one to use.
Yeah. We're all using the same app, so
if it's not here, it's not there. Go to bed. Go to sleep.
Go to sleep. Go home and do it on YouTube if you want to. Like, if you're really
go buy that mic that you care about so much.
Yeah, like, if you're really trying to go that hard, like, go do it at home. Have your own party. But it's just like, you're yelling at me about something that has nothing to do with me.
That's insane.
Or when people complain to me about stuff that's happening in the bar, and I'm like, yo, I work in the bar. I don't work for the bar.
Yeah.
You know, I'm
my beverage didn't come out correctly. Okay, do you see me with mixers in my hand? Yeah,
that bartender's being rude. Okay, well,
go tell the bouncer downstairs.
Yeah, go tell someone else because it's not me. Like, I don't have any control over these people. Oh, anyway, all right, let's get into these last three questions. So, question number one: aside from money, why do you still stay in the industry?
This is actually such a great question. I kind of feel, I know one of my friends for sure doesn't think that, like, being a server is a real job. Mm. And I know a lot of people have that, like, same belief.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason I stay in it apart from the money is going to be, number one, is that I am literally on my feet all day. I get to walk around. I get the privilege of going up and down stairs. Like, it's an active lifestyle. It's going to be a lot different than, you know, sitting at a computer for 6-7 hours of the day rather than getting 18,000 steps in for your 6-7 hour shift. I think it's such a privilege. And
right, not only that, when you're sitting in front of a computer, you're doing the same thing every day.
Yeah, that's true. Technically, you could say I'm doing the same thing every day, but
the interactions are different.
The interactions are going to be different every single time. And, you know, I always feel like there's places that I can learn something new. I don't know, like, patience is a really big, like, virtue of mine, and being a fine dining server, there's just certain things that you need to do. Like, we have to make sure the silverware is polished correctly. It actually has to be placed in a certain order from certain inches apart from one another. I have to do services in a certain way. This has to come out before this. Like, the background noise that you don't hear, like, it clears my mind, and it makes it be like, if I don't want to think about anything, I can just go into work.
Yeah.
If I don't want to think about my life, I can just go into work, have a couple people, like, have even just short experiences. Like, when you're about to go to your next table and you say something really, really short and they laugh about it and you can hear them laughing while you're walking away from the table. Like, something, like, small like that, it makes it feel like you're doing well. So it's mainly the active lifestyle, the multiple sources of multitasking, and then the multiple, like, education factors. Especially when you're moving up the scale and doing fine dining.
Right. I mean, you also, it's a good networking experience too, because you never know who you're talking to. You never know what kind of opportunities you can gain.
Or what they
from
say.
From doing a job like that.
Yeah, that sometimes, can stay with you forever.
Yeah, sometimes people drop, like, really great nuggets and you're just like, whew, you're like, I never would have thought of that. Like, that's great. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's cool. So for anyone new getting into the industry, what advice do you have for them?
I'd say for anyone new that's getting into the industry, like, the first thing you need to do is make sure that you enjoy it. But this the first thing that I did was make sure that it fits in with my lifestyle. Like, I try my best to eat food I enjoy, be knowledgeable about food. And if you enjoy cooking, like, being a server can be great, especially when you realize that recipes can live inside your brain rather than on paper because of all the entrees that you're serving and you're explaining them to guests. And you have, like, this mini script in your head. Like, you really just have to be... You have to, like, make sure it's a good fit for you, because if you're doing it for the money and then you're disappointed because your service wasn't that great, so your tip was only $8 instead of $30, the only person that's going to be on is you, because now that $8 is actually going to tip out, yeah, and you won't really see any of it. There's just so many times where I'm like, I've been around service and I'm like, I didn't make anything tonight. And I'm like, oh, I made my usual tonight. Like, I don't know. It's like a pride thing. Like, being a server is not... like some shameful job. Like, it's not, you're not a girl in a tiny skirt, like, doing a service. You're in a button up long sleeve. You have these tools in your pocket and you have to remember a script and you have to guide the customer. You're guiding special experiences, anniversaries, birthdays, wedding. Like, we make people's experiences go better. So if you can't, if it's not a good fit, just don't try to stay with it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's you nailed that one. It's just like, it's enjoyable. I enjoy making sure other people are having a good time, especially in that situation. Like, I like making people laugh. I like making people think about stuff, like things like, I enjoy that stuff. If you kind of don't enjoy doing that, like if you're kind of just going through the motions, or like, it's not a factory job. You know what I mean? There is no like, you're going to do this single thing every single day and then you get the clock out at this time. Like, it could be different. You might get nobody. You might get everybody. Like, you, who knows what's going to happen? Like, yes, it's your title. It's like, oh, server or bartender or whatever it is. But, like, it's going to be different every single day. Like, the little things that you do, yes, like the script and memorizing all the, you know, the entrees and the specials and all that stuff. Like, yes, that's going to be the same every day. But the people are going to be different every day. And like, yes, like you said, like, you are going to be a part of someone's special memory, and like, don't ruin that for someone else. You know what I mean? Like, don't do it.
Yeah. Because honestly, right now I can say it can be so hard to find a server job when it actually used to be like one of the easiest to do. And I think it's because people are realizing like the pay, but it's like, I don't know. This is like a whole thing anyway. Cause like, servers, we're not just getting all these tips and it's going direct to us. Like, we have to tip out people. We still have to pay taxes. And now, like, there's so many things, like, Savannah in general, they're probably, like, one of the first states that are doing it, but they're making, like, pay every 2 weeks instead of every day. I cannot stand it. It's not fair. It doesn't make any sense. Like, if you tell me before tip out I made $300 and I'm tipping out $60 and then I have to tip out, or not tip out, but I have to tax and getting taxed on my tips, The money, there's no reason to be taxed on my tips if the money is not coming from the store that is employing me. It's coming from my guest. It's coming from the experiences that I earned. Like, I earned that. Tips are never a guarantee. No. Yet it happens so often for stellar servers. I don't know. Like, there's just so many different pathways. So if you don't like the job, if you're a server, please move out the way for people who enjoy it.
Who do like the job, yeah.
Because you're taking it away from them, and you're making, like, you've heard the epidemic of, like, oh, I go out to eat and our server's terrible. You've heard the epidemic. It happens so often, yeah. And it's because there's servers that are in the industry for the money, but they hate the job, so it's breaking them down, breaking their body down. They can't handle it.
Yeah, there's people, like, that's the thing that other people need to understand is, like, unfortunately, like, hospitality and service industry does, there is a timetable. You know what I mean? There is an expiration date on it. You know what I mean? There's going to be a point where your body can't do it, or you mentally can't do it anymore, or, you know, whatever the case may be, where you just, you know, it's not a job that you can do forever. You know what I mean? And, like, you can't, you're not going to retire. You know what I mean? Like, unless you set yourself up money-wise as a server, you have that foresight to, like, you know, put money away in a 401k or whatever it is you're doing, like, you're not going to retire as a server. Server is, you know, server, bartenders, like, unless your end game is to own a bar, own a restaurant, like, really, it should just be a stepping stone. Like, it should be a way for you to, like, gain experiences, meet people, learn how to talk to people, learn how to do certain things, gain people skills, you know, so that you can move on to the next thing and know how to deal with people and know how to get what you need without having to be negative or go about it in a negative way, backstabbing people or throwing people under the bus, whatever it is. Like, it's one of those jobs where, like you said, like, your tips show how good of an employee you are. If you're making a lot of money on tips, that's because you're good at your job.
$2.13 an hour. That's like right. What servers are actually being paid. So if you're hearing that servers are walking out making $30 an hour, that's completely because of the server alone, their service. Another great reason why, like, being a server, you're kind of your own manager. You don't really have to go to a manager except when it's problems you don't even want to deal with in the first place.
Yeah.
But regarding your steps of service, how you talk to people, there's not going to be someone breathing down your neck saying, you didn't say this word right here. But for me, I guess I'm going to be one of the outsiders because I really do love being a fine dining server. I feel like the active lifestyle is, like, really good for me, like, especially with the types of health conditions I've had in the past. Being able to be active at work, I would actually love to do it forever. Of course, I'm going to have something else on the side. But if I could, when I'm 50, serve for 3 days out of the week, like, that'd be amazing.
Right, that's not right.
I can tell you right now, when I'm that age, it's not going to be casual dining. It's going to be fine dining or even higher, like Michelin star.
Stuff like that, yeah.
But that's not everyone can do it.
Yeah.
Not everyone can do it, even if you apply and with certain different resume. But I don't know. I'd love to have that backstone of just, like, being able to talk to people, have a social aspect for a little bit.
Yeah, it's good. And then finally, what advice do you have for any customers?
I suppose, like, the first thing that came to mind is that if you believe you can do my job better than me, put the apron on. Serve yourself. 'Cause a lot of the time it has to do with a lot of, like, emotive control, especially when there's a table that's irritating you. Like, they're not even, you're just super busy right now, and they're like, may I have more bread, please? That might just set you off. You're so angry that they asked for more bread because now you got to go and get it. Got to get it out of the oven. You might have to even pipe your own butter because you don't have any right now.
Yeah.
And then you just say to their face, of course, I can do this for you.
Yeah, you got to, it's the part of it. It's just, I just say overall, the theme seems to be from everyone that I've interviewed so far, it's just like patience. It's just like hella patience. If you don't have patience, this is not the job for you. If you're a hothead, this is not the job for you.
But it's also, if you think it's so easy and you want to, yeah, go do it.
Go do like, it. See what
please
it is.
Go do it. Because I can tell you right now, like, the effort that I have to put in to the job is actually more than I've ever had to do in any other job, even ones where, you know, I've been a private instructor before teaching, and I find the service life has more steps than that.
Yeah.
So
I have people all the time be like, you have, like, there's people like, your job must be so easy, you just sit there and, like, you know, do whatever. I'm like, you have no idea how mentally taxing this job is.
And then you also have to, like, pipe the crowd up. You have to get them to sign up to do the karaoke.
It's a lot of things that, like, look,
it's psychology. It's a lot of psychology.
Right, exactly. I had a customer who came in this past weekend, and she was like, I used to think this was an easy job until I did it. She's like, you have the hardest job here. Like, yeah, the bartenders and blah, blah, but, like, this is hard. Like, I only know now because I had to do it. She's like, but I didn't know. I used to think it was, like, super easy prior. I was like, well, good on you for, like, doing it. She's like, but, yeah, this is, she tipped me out $40. She's like, I know this is hard. Like, just take this money. I was like, thank you so much.
I think the only, like, performer job, because I'm not saying, like, you're a performer, but you have to, like, be able to motivate people. I'd say the only job that's going to be a bit harder than that, like, in the performance industry, is going to be being a drag queen.
Yeah, that's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. Like, that outfit, 2-3 hours plus just to put on, and then you have to go in, try to warm up a crowd, try to get them to buy drinks so that you're getting tipped out by everyone.
Plus, like, your routines, learning
all those dances. Shoot, like, you're doing a lot, and they'll be like, oh, they just sit there and look pretty. Yeah, that's their job that they did. And they set up that job by literally putting all that makeup on and just perfecting their outfit, perfecting their walk, okay? And 8-inch heels. Yeah, they do get paid to look pretty. Be upset about it.
Yeah. Pretty much, this is awesome. Excellent interview. I'm so glad that you came in.
Thanks.
This is pretty cool. Let's talk about what's going on next week. So we're getting closer to Christmas, y'all. So we got some, like, holiday business expos that are happening. There's some professional and trade events that are happening. like some and infrastructure companies coming in through, so that might generate some traffic. And we also got still like Savannah Waterfront, and like there's the Christmas market and Alpine Village at the Lost Square, and like Festival Trees, and just all the normal holiday stuff that's happening. And like the closer we get to Christmas, like honestly, I would like to say like, oh, it's going to be busy or it's not going to be busy, but it's a toss up every year. Like sometimes it'll just, we might get hammered. I'm saying like this year, this past week has been busier than it was last year. So who knows what's going to happen. But yeah, it was a great talk. This is the Customer Isn't Always Right, 107.5 FM. Again, you can listen to any past episodes on wruu.creek.fm or probably wruu.org. Catch us again next Wednesday, and I'll talk to y'all later.